Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Ann McNeil and Ione McNeil, welcoming you to another episode of My Investing Story. Every Wednesday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, we are very excited to continue to bring you another very exciting episode as we share another special guest that comes on and share their investing story. So hashtag My Investing Story. We want to encourage all of you to comment, like, and share the show, but especially listen in and let us hear from you with your questions. Well, let's get right into who we are and what we do. All right. Ione and I are volunteers with Better Investing. Better Investing is a not-for-profit, 501c3 investing organization that has helped over 5 million investors, helping investors through investment educational tools that help us learn how to better help you learn how to invest. And so with that, we hold educational seminars, workshops, of course, right now online. But if you are interested in learning more about this awesome organization, you can go to betterinvesting.org. We are not day traders. We're not stockbrokers. We're not giving any kind of financial tips or advice. We are very simply providing investment education to help empower regular people who have regular stories to start investing right where they are. But a little bit about our guest tonight. Mr. Matthew Green is a young investor of approximately 5 years. He has started his own investment journey. He'll tell you a little bit about his journey by enrolling in the University of Jamaica. And there he began to realize the power of investing from some classes that he took dealing with financial management. But as we bring Matthew on to share his story, he will also share with you a little about his own investment club, which we talked a little earlier about his involvement in the last few years in a club that's a Better Investing club that he's now a part of. So with that backstory, let me now introduce you to my co-host, Miss Ione McNeil, the baby billionaire. Good evening, Ione. How are you today?
Good evening. I'm doing well. Thank you.
Just a little louder, Ione. It's kind of hard to hear you.
Okay.
Thank you.
So, Matthew.
Hi, hello, everyone.
Hello. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Good, good. How have you been doing with the pandemic?
It's been good. It's been an interesting time. It's allowed me, I guess, to refocus on, you know, the things that are important to me, spending time with the family. You know, of course, some family, you know, we have to meet via Zoom, but, yeah, it's been good.
Okay, cool. So you're originally born in Jamaica, correct?
Yes, I am originally born in Jamaica. I'm actually in Jamaica right now.
Oh, wow. Very cool. I didn't know. I thought you was like in Broward or something like that.
No, I do live in Broward. I'm spending some time in Jamaica.
Okay, excellent. So I'm glad that you have good connection and we're able to talk this evening. So one of my first questions, and I know we have Danica is listening in live. I know she connected you and I, and I'm really excited to talk to you tonight because are you the youngest member in your investment club?
Yes, I am, in fact, the youngest member of my club.
Okay, and what's the name of your investment club?
So the name of my investment club is the Agbar Investment Club, and
okay.
It's been around for about 25 years now.
Yes, I think so. The Akbar Investment Club actually placed first in our investment club competition this past year, earlier this year, I should say. Every year, the Better Investing South Florida chapter in January has a competition among the Better Investing investment clubs. And Akbar placed first. It's not the first time Akbar has placed first, but in 2020, you all have placed first again. So I'm very aware of the club just every year, their portfolio being submitted as a part of the competition. And you all have been growing, and it's been wonderful to learn different portfolio management tips and tricks by being able to be a part of that portfolio review process. Have you ever sat in on one of the portfolio review sessions that the South Florida chapter has had?
No, unfortunately, I've never really been able to, but I guess now I have more time on my hands, you know, I'll definitely be able to.
And maybe in 2021 we may do it virtually, so maybe you could log on and see, because it's great. We usually have anywhere between 5 and 10 clubs at the least submit their portfolios, and so we don't just rank based on the amount of money, but based on balance, diversity, exposure to all the different industries, and then rate of return. So, and then of course that's hosted by Phil Keating, who was a founding member of the Better Investing South Florida chapter about 34 years ago. So he's always a great wealth of knowledge. He's also a CFA. So it would be really cool if you come next time to be able to just pick his brain.
No, I'll definitely make an effort to. I've, I guess, kind of read through the printout, you know, at the end. Like, I've
Yes.
Not really been able to attend.
Okay, cool. So the cool thing about you being from Jamaica is that our last guest, Yvonne McNaughton, was from Jamaica. You were on, you heard. So I'm going to ask you what I asked her, which was, what was your earliest memory of money growing up as a child? Was it talked about in your home? Did you go out to work for it? Did you do chores for it? Just kind of talk to us about your earliest relationship with money.
All right, so I can't, you know, remember like a specific memory, but in my household, like, we do discuss finances a lot. Like, my mom is very big on saving, and she's always encouraged me to save. So when I think back to my childhood, like, I remember being given lunch money. Like, I never, I wasn't paid for my chores. You know, I just kind of had to do them.
Had to do them, yep.
You know, there was no allowance or anything. So it really just be my lunch money. So I really just saved my lunch money. And I guess as a kid, I was very focused on money because I remember ironing the money that I had in my wallet at the end of each week.
Wow, clean boy.
I took pride in it, you know.
Of course. Wow.
So, thinking back, like, I do remember having this green piggy bank that I would always aim to stuff. And, you know, I had it since I was a kid. But as I got older, you know, that piggy bank came, you know, it became more important to me. So I would save. If there's my parents and I were traveling, then I would empty the piggy bank, and then that would be my spending money when I traveled to the U.S.
Right. Oh, wow. So you went all through school in Jamaica, correct?
Right. I moved to the U.S. in 2017 to pursue my master's.
Okay, excellent. And this is a great question because we have a lot of international students that are listening to the show, and they're interested in investing. But sometimes, you know, based on citizenship, they feel like they have to wait, or they get introduced to Robinhood, the app, and try it that way. So when did you hear about investing and even realize that's something you wanted to do?
So I realized about investing when I was maybe 19 or 20. So I was doing a course on financial management. And in my course, my professor kind of explained how the bank pays us very little interest on our money. But then if you go to the bank to borrow money, then you're being charged a high interest rate. So I realized how much money the bank is making on the money that I give them and the little return that I'm getting from the bank. So from there, he kind of prompted us to you know, start our own investment journey. So my mom, my mom and dad definitely influenced, you know, my thoughts towards money. But my mom, she started saving 500 Jamaican dollars, which is like maybe like 3 or 4 US dollars each week for me as a kid. And by the time I was 20, you know, it accumulated. So I asked her, you know, I told her what I learned in class, and I said, hey, mom, you know, would you be okay with giving me this money, and I'll go ahead and buy some stocks? Now, she was already investing at the time, but not so heavily. Like, you know, I always knew about this. You know, I knew about bonds, well, not really what they were, but I just knew that, you know, a couple of people that my mom worked with, they had bonds, but at the time, you know, it never really meant anything to me. I'm like, I don't care, you know, but I'd say.
Like, so you knew the word, but you didn't really know what it meant, or.
Yeah, I didn't really connect with it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So she gave me that money, and I purchased 3 stocks. A few of them were 3 or 4 stocks. Two, my mom and I decided on, and the other two were recommended by, you know, the advisor at the bank. So that kind of kickstarted my journey into investing. And it was great for me because for a couple of years, like the Jamaican Stock Exchange has been ranked as the best stock exchange in the world. So,
wow.
Right. So, you know, there's this one stock I had that, I mean, I didn't have a lot of money in it, but after seeing, you know, it going from $14 to like $30, I was like, okay, I'm definitely sold on this. And realizing that, you know, the bank only gives me cents on whatever savings I have. So
what
started me into, you know, into investing. So I started from Jamaica. And then once I got to the U.S., I feel like my investing is a little more formalized.
Awesome. So when you did come over to the U.S. to pursue your master's, how did you get introduced to the Akbar Investment Group? And did you start investing in the U.S. market before you became a member of this investment club?
No, I did not start investing in the U.S. market at the time. When I just moved, I didn't really have you know, credit or any history like that. So I had signed up for, I believe it was an E-Trade account, and, you know, I was declined. But when I moved, to the U.S., I moved to live with my grand aunt and my grand uncle. Now, my grand uncle, he's a long-time member of the Akbar Investment Club. So he told me about the club. Initially, I'd see him, you know, leave on the second Saturday of each month to go to a meeting. And I'm like, where are you going, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah, but over time, we got to talking, and I told him about, you know, my investment journey, because he's also from Jamaica. So I told him about, you know, me investing in Jamaica, and he began to tell me a little bit more about, like, the club and setting up an investment account, because he walked me through setting up my own investment account. And then afterwards, I began going to meetings with him. So I would just go, I couldn't make it every week or, you know, every time a meeting.
Every month? Right.
Because eventually I got a job and, you know, I had work on Saturdays, so I couldn't always go.
Okay.
But over time, I would definitely make the effort, you know, ask my boss, you know, can I get off early on a Saturday in order to go? And then once I started going, you know, I started learning a lot more. And I think I officially became a member I think it was April of 2018. So I'm a new member.
Wow. So you've done 2 years now, April 2018.
Right.
And how long did you visit the club before they ended up letting you join?
I don't remember exactly. So officially you have to be in attendance of 3 meetings in order to join. So I think I maybe attended maybe 3 or 4 because I don't think I applied to join immediately. So I think maybe like 3 or 4.
Okay. Now, describe your very first meeting. Were you intimidated? Did it look and just feel like family? Was it foreign? Was it familiar? Kind of walk us through what it was like to just go to that very first meeting and sit in with your great, is it great uncle?
No, my granduncle.
Oh, granduncle. Okay.
All right. So the first meeting was not at all intimidating because some of the members that were at the meeting were people that I met since I moved to the U.S. So my granduncle's, 2 of his cousins are members of the club. So, you know, going to the meeting, I already saw them. I was like, okay, cool. What was interesting for me, though, is being the youngest member of the club, you know, because everyone, or not everyone, but a lot of our members are retirees. You know, they've been doing this
60, 70 plus.
You know, they've been doing it. They've been doing this for a while. And, you know, of course, there is Danica, and then since then you've had like younger members. But the first meeting, it was very welcoming. A lot of the members of the club are kind of like, you know, friends and family. They're all like Caribbean, so it didn't feel weird for me. And I guess for me, I'm used to being around like people older than myself. In fact, I kind of enjoy being around older people because I feel like, you know, they have a lot of knowledge in part a lot of times. So for me, that first meeting, it was great. And, you know, I remember looking at their portfolio and I was like, wow.
I'm glad you were honest about that because, I mean, oh, it's real, God. You know? It's like, oh, y'all been doing some things. Yeah.
You know? I was impressed, you know, because coming from my small portfolio.
Exactly.
And, you know, this club, I'm like, wow, you know?
Like putting ends together to eating steak and potatoes.
Right.
Drinking champagne.
In realizing, I guess, the club's portfolio and, you know, just what they're doing, I guess in that moment I realized the benefit of being in a club, each member contributing these, learning together and growing as a club. Like in that instant, I definitely realized the importance of that.
And can you share roughly about how much on your let him share about roughly about how much so that the audience can get a feel for?
Well, I don't know. He may not have permission to say that. I thought you were going to ask him how much monthly does each person contribute to the club.
Yeah, that's what I'm asking.
Danica's in the chat, so Danica has to say yes. She give. She's
no,
the
that's,
president,
that's,
so
that's,
she has to give permission.
That's what I'm asking, how much is the contribution on a monthly basis?
Oh, okay.
Oh, okay, so the monthly contribution, it's about like $80 a month, but I think actually we may have lowered it to 50, and the max is 100. You know, just so everyone's able to.
Oh, okay. So people can put in monthly anywhere between $50 and $100 each month.
Right. I think we recently moved it to 50, but when I just joined, I think it was maybe around like 70 or 80 to 100
okay.
each month.
And at that time, even in grad school, with you seeing the power of being in a club and the fact that they had amassed so much wealth over 25 plus years, how did you feel about the $80? Was it like, oh, I can afford this, or I'm going to make this work so that I could be in it because I can see what it turns into? How did
right.
you kind of respond to that monthly contribution amount?
I think for me, that monthly contribution, it was like, okay, so if I want my returns to grow as quick as possible, then I'm trying to contribute the max. So I would contribute 100 a month. But for me, I started looking at that 100 a month as spent, a bill that I had to pay, because I feel like when, you know, I mean, sometimes I feel like, especially young people, like when you have savings I think you're more likely to spend it. But with a bill, you're like, all right, so I have to pay this bill. So, you know, whenever I, because I, you know, I do like monthly budgets. So it was always as an expense, like something that I would absolutely have to do. You know, not so much an option, even though, of course, if I can't pay the dues for a month, it's, you know, it's fine. But for me, I always try to make sure I put all that extra effort to pay the dues because I see what the contribution can do. And then I think for me, especially looking at the each member in the club, like how much they've contributed over the years, then I'm saying, well, in order to get to where they are, then I have to, you know, pay my way, you know? So that's definitely how I look at it.
Excellent. So we did have a quick question in the chat. I was trying to remember the other question before Ms. Ann asked her question. But one of our listeners is asking, what are the benefits of an investment club versus doing it on your own, and how does it work?
Okay, so I think the huge benefit of having an investment club is, well, there are other people to share in this journey, the people who you can bounce ideas off. And if you're building a portfolio, I think it's a lot easier to have one person, you know, if you have 12 stocks in the portfolio, then it's a lot easier to have, you know, each person watch a stock than having 12 stocks that you have to constantly, you know, pay attention to when the earnings report come out, you know, if their trends are changing, things like that. And I think also, especially being in the Akbar Investment Club with, you know, who've been around for 25 years, like, they've seen a whole lot. Like, I'm 25, so, you know, they've been investing for
as long as you've been alive. Exactly. Successfully, too.
Right. You know, they've seen different trends in the market. You know, they have a better understanding of the market. So I think in being in an investment club, there are other people who you can learn with, share your ideas with, and I think there is a lot of power in being a team, you know, being a group, you know, whereas I would be able to contribute only 100 a month. If 10 of us are contributing 100 a month, then we're investing $1,000, you know, which
each month.
Right, each month, you know. So I think that's a lot better than just doing it on your own. And I think with the club, you know, it's also like a social circle also, you know, because at the end of the meeting, you know, we'll have conversations, we'll talk about politics, we'll talk about, you know, different things going on in the world. So
you find it actually also socially and emotionally nourishing as well to be in an investment club with like-minded people, people from similar backgrounds, different age ranges.
Definitely, especially the different age ranges, because I guess through them, I'm learning about, like, they're way ahead in their financial journey than I am. So, you know, I'm learning about, like, the power of their 401k, you know, the required monthly distribution. I can't remember exactly what it's called. Like, you know, once you get to a certain age.
Required minimum distribution, yeah.
And I might be convinced that, you know, this is a stock that we should buy, but then there will be someone else who will come with a different perspective. And I think it's great to have people who have, you know, different perspectives than you, because I may be a little bit more risk averse. Someone else would be more likely to take risks. So it's like a balanced way of investing.
Yeah, I like the way you put that, because an investment club, especially when you can get different perspectives, being willing to speak up and contribute,
right. It
does give a balanced approach. And I also like the point that you set, the point you made about it being also an opportunity to share the workload. I think that in order to comfortably be in an investment club, you have to be willing to share. I'm just now getting the book with Sherry, which is, well, I'm just now, after 25 years, I'm in an investment club. Well, really 20 years, I'm exaggerating. But yeah, you have to be willing to share. You have to be willing to, you know, put your money together with other people that you trust. You have to be willing to take a chance to trust. You have to be willing to, you know, share in your growth. And you have to be willing to share in the profits. It's kind of similar to being married. Like, you have to be willing, you know. And if it's not for you, it's not for you. If it's not for you yet, it's not for you yet. I mean, because you can be a successful investor on your own, especially if you join Better Investing and learn the Better Investing way. I mean, the same principles of putting money together, doing it monthly, having a routine, investing regularly in the market, regardless of the market ups or downs. If you have the discipline individually to do that, then you, by all means, you know, you could be like Warren Buffett, you'll be successful. But a lot of people don't have the discipline and also need the support and just feel more comfortable growing alongside others, you know, wanting to have somebody bounce ideas off of and stuff like that. So I think that that's you made a point I hadn't really thought about, but it's a very valid point. The question I wanted to ask you, though, was even, let's say, kind of coming over from Jamaica and being in school and you're on this kind of career path, because I think this is interesting when, you know, a lot of people, I mean, you're different because you was exposed to the Jamaican market and you, you know, had the confidence to ask your mom, you know, for the money she had been saving for you and willing to do it. But did you feel like you were more of a loner? Because I know that when I was much younger, I was hesitant in joining an investment club, but it seemed like when you came over, even though you were pursuing your studies, you seemed to kind of hop right into an investment club. So just wanted to see your personality. Was it because they already seemed successful or maybe because you were doing it on your own first? You know, what made you likely to join the investment club?
I think, well, for me, when I just moved and, you know, I spent a lot of time talking to my granduncle, I guess he kind of told me, he didn't really tell me how successful the club was, but he told me the premise that the club was built upon. And it was a group of, you know, working class adults who didn't know anything about investing. They realized that, hey, I'm getting older and I need to make sure that when I'm retired, you know, I have, you know, a little, you know, some amount of money. So for them, it was built on not so much profiting, but for learning purposes. So for me, I didn't go into the club with the intention of making money. Like, for me, I never, ever look at, well, no, not ever. I very rarely look at, you know, how much I've contributed in the club or, like, how much that is worth. Like, for me, the club is just for knowledge purposes. You know, I just go in with an open mind to, I mean, just to learn. And I think why I really gravitated to the club is I was at a point where I wanted to know more, you know, like, teach me more about investing. I was reading online, you know, but I'd read different books, but, you know, I wanted to learn more. I was in search of that knowledge. And the club to me presented an opportunity to just learn more. So I would just go into meetings and I'd be a fly on the wall. I'd be listening. I mean, there are terms that I've never heard about before. So, you know, I'd make my way to jottings and then I'd go to Investopedia. And I'm like, all right, cool. So I learned something new. So, and even though, you know, I'm still off the mindset that I'm really just in there to learn, not so much make money, because I think from the knowledge I gain from the Better Investing platform, from the members in the club, I'll be able to have, well, I have my own portfolio, and I'll better be able to manage my own portfolio individually. So as much as I'm in the club, I still invest by myself, and I'm learning how to manage a portfolio through also being in a club who has their own voice.
Wow. So let me ask this question. And before I do, let me check in with Ms. Ann. Ms. Ann, do you have anything?
Well, I really just want to just share with our listeners the fact that we're talking with Mr. Matthew Green, and we had some people that came on a little later, and just a little bit about him after he learned about compound interest in college, you know, and his bank account rate and the difference in having your money work for you being a higher interest rate. Just want to share a little bit about his background. While his journey began on the Jamaican Stock Exchange, it really evolved after immigrating to the U.S. 3 years ago and joining the Agbari Investment Club in South Florida. Currently, and this is a highlight, I want to say this, highlight. Currently, Matthew serves as the club's assistant treasurer and a member of the portfolio and audit committee, aligned to his passion and interest in financial management. I share that because I think it's very interesting to have you be that involved so soon in the club. And for those who follow us, we want to just make sure you do understand that we are volunteers with Better Investing, and Better Investing was established in 1951 as a national 501c3 not-for-profit organization who has helped over 5 million people from all walks of life to become better investors. And we provide unbiased investment education and powerful online stock analysis tools to create successful lifelong investors. So I just wanted to share that information, Ione. We want to ask everybody to please follow us at Better Investing. We're on all the social media platforms, and continue to consider being on the show also. So back to you, Ione and Matthew. Thank you, Matthew, again for that backstory.
Yes, and you know, I try not to interrupt the guests because I get so excited whenever I interview somebody because sometimes they make points, and I'm like, yes, I tried to tell somebody that the other day. Or they say something, and I'm like, oh, dang, I ain't never thought about it like that. But one of the things I want to bring up that Ms. Ann just brought up, and this is something I say sometimes when I do speeches or especially when I talk to kids, that banking example that you started with, I don't know if everybody caught that, but that was a realization that I also made. You know, and it was just like, wait, what? Why am I going to have my money sitting in a bank account and they're giving me less than 0.01% on my money? And then out the back door, they're giving out loans, charging people 15, 20, sometimes, right, whatever it is, and they're making the spread on that? And then on top of that, when I found out that they also loan money to corporations and in the form of bonds, and
right,
so they're getting, you know, AAA rated bonds on my money. I could just be buying stock. Why do I need the middleman? So I'm glad that on your own you brought that up because it was such a like light bulb moment, you know. And I know a lot of people are concerned about liquidity and if your money's safe and this and that. And it's like the longer you invest in quality companies, the safer your money is. You know, the volatility comes when you jumping in and out and trying to time the market and all of that. But, I mean, just is going to pay you a dividend rate that's higher than the interest rate the bank is paying.
Definitely.
So by that alone, not even adding the capital appreciation that the stock price is gaining over time. I mean, I was just like, no. So I try to keep my bank account minimum, just enough to keep it open without fees, man. So anyway, I just had to bring that back because I think that that's a really important lesson and a very clear motivating factor for people to want to do better for their money, you know, because it's like when you realize somebody ripping you off personally, you know what I mean?
Right.
It just makes you think like, well, if they saw the opportunity, why I can't, you know? But when it comes to a bank, people, I don't know, people don't respond like I respond. I just be like, no, that's your money, you know? Like, come on, don't you want more for your money? I don't know, but.
I think people would say, you know, paying someone to invest your money, you pay them, but you could just learn to do it yourself and, you know, invest your own money. And I think for me, I like having the control of seeing what my money is doing. You know, I don't want to just give my money to a company and I have no idea. I just know that they give me maybe like 7 or 8% at the end of the year. Like, I want to be able to see where my money is going and be in control of that, you know?
Yeah, yeah. And you know, you make a really good point because it's, I mean, but I think too, and there's a lot of times I think people wait, to get confidence first before they do, and they don't realize you have to do a little bit first to gain the confidence, and then it just becomes a reinforcing cycle of do confidence results. Do confidence results, you know, people waiting for the confidence. Like, you can't get it unless you, you know, put your toe in the water and try your hand at it and be willing to learn and be willing to join a group like an investment club and learn together or plug into better investing and be able to, you know, be willing to use the resources, which brings me to my next question. I recognize, especially in being in a model club and having taught the beginner investing class, and especially now that I work with a lot of adults, that people have different learning styles. So my question to you is, you've been probably a BI member for about 2 years now.
Right.
What have you noticed to be your learning style, and what are the BI resources that you're using? Because you have the online, you know, video learning library, you have the BI magazine, you know, you have a lot of different resources depending on if you're like a visual learner or audio learner or then even doing the SSGs, you know. So what have been the tools that have been kind of your go-to on the betterinvesting.org website?
For me, what I've used the most is the SSG. I think that's definitely where I learn a lot from. When I just joined the club and joined Better Investing, you know, I didn't really have an idea of, you know, using the SSG, but I was partnered with my granduncle who showed me, you know, the ropes. And for me, I will use the SSG. Some of it is judgment. So for me, through doing it more and more, I kind of built up my judgment, as well as, you know, in the club, whenever we're assigned a stock, you know, quarterly, we are asked to present, you know, like a report on the stock. So even just looking at how other people do their SSG, it kind of helps me to, I guess, better understand, you know, what to do, what to look at, the important things to look at. And there are things that I would miss that through being in the club, I was able to realize. The other thing that I've used a lot is the Best Investing, the magazine. Like, I read the magazine a whole lot. I definitely read the magazine.
What sections do you like? I like the book value. I like the repair shop. So do you remember which sections of the magazine that you like?
To be honest, like normally I just try to read it like cover to cover, or I just kind of, you know, see the different things that they're talking about.
Catch your eye.
Yeah, especially if they are explaining or, you know, doing an in-depth analysis of a particular stock, then I'll read that to say, you know, is this a stock that the club should consider? So definitely.
What's been one of the last stocks that you took from the magazine and brought to the club, or even read in the magazine that you learned something, just so that the people can get a sense of what specifically you're learning from the magazine? Any one thing.
To be honest, I can't remember an exact stock because I'm currently out of the country, so I haven't read the magazine in a month or two. But I can't remember a specific stock, but I guess just being able to read how the stock is being analyzed and paying attention to what's important, you know, paying attention to the things mentioned, and I use that to kind of inform the things I look at in a stock. Like if, you know, the next stock I'm analyzing, will I really focus on the debt to capital ratio,
okay.
You know, the PE, I look at,
Oh, okay. I'm glad you got some help from one of your club members. She don't want to see you fail in this interview. Well, that and so for some people that don't know, Next Era is FPL. We're here in South Florida, and so our Florida Power and Light is actually, I think, almost probably ranked number one in terms of being an electrical company. When I recently did some research on Duke Energy, I realized that Duke Energy was one of four, but Next Era FPL was like ranked one. I was like, oh, I didn't even realize that. And I think their stock price, and Danica could probably chime in, but their stock price may be somewhere in the $100, $200, or $100, $300 range.
I think it's around like $300.
Okay. I knew it was high. Yeah. So, okay, cool. Do you remember if the club ended up buying any based on UC
Destiny?
No, we haven't. Okay, so I do want to ask this quick technical question. I like to test anybody that's new. I like to kind of test their knowledge. So don't feel too intimidated, but I just want to check you just right quick. So, from what you've learned in being an investment club and being a member of BI, how do you like to analyze a stock? What are some of the things that you're specifically looking for? That you when a stock has these things, it reads as valuable or as growth, or, you know, as like you ready to probably make the next step.
So for me, before I guess like really going in depth with a company, I will look at the graph, see how the stock has performed over the years. Afterwards, I will look at the PE, what the PE is. Afterwards, so I kind of go through all the tabs on Yahoo Finance. I kind of use Yahoo Finance a whole lot. So, you know, I will look at the PE, then I'll look at the revenue, their earnings. I'll look at their finances. I definitely pay attention to their debt-to-capital ratio, especially more so right now. And I guess for me, afterwards, you know, once I look at those things, if it still stands out to me, then I try to do go in depth, like read a bit more articles, I definitely look at how the company has been going. I think for the most part, like I'm a growth investor, so I look at, you know, how the company is growing right now. And yeah, I think those are the things I look at for the most part. know, I look at what are they working on, you know, what's in the pipeline. So, yeah, I think that's how I start out.
And do you, you made me remember the value line. Do you look at the value line?
No.
Okay. Because when we research stocks, we pull up the value line from the library, and there's a little written section right in the middle of the page, which and then at the bottom of the page, it talks about some of the upcoming products or services that a company may have in its pipeline. So I was just, you know, but you're using Yahoo Finance too, so you could probably get it from there.
Yeah, and also so through Charles Schwab, they have like a lot of reports. So they'll post like Morningstar reports, the CFRA reports. So I'll definitely read through, I think that's like my next step. So I read through reports, and from there, you know, kind of make a decision off, you know, is this something that I would look even deeper into?
Right. And I'm glad you brought that up too, because on Better Investing, especially Better the SSG Plus, when you go to the resources tab, you can go over to Morningstar and Zacks and Yahoo
right.
Finance and just other resources that help give an in-depth or commentary from analysts or even financial report viewing, industry ratios and stuff like that. So that's cool to be able to navigate to those sites right from the SSG Plus. Yes.
We want to make sure that we share with the audience what that acronym means, because a lot of people are sitting there wondering. Plus, we also have a question from Carol.
Sure. Yes, I see that. So SSG stands for Stock Selection Guide, and it's a tool we use at Better Investing to do an in-depth 5 to 10 year financial analysis of the company. And so the SSG literally allows us to see a graphical representation of the income statements and the balance sheets for the company, so that we can see if how profitable the company is, at what growth rate is it growing, and it just allows us to answer a lot of questions visually, graphically, instead of just kind of looking at numbers and trying to piece it together. So one of the questions we have for you, Matthew, is do you plan on retiring at an early age and living on your investments? I know you're only 25, but the people want to know, Matthew. You got to tell the people.
I guess even before I started investing, I had decided that I want to be able to retire or working for someone at the age of 50.
That's a nice number.
Yeah. So I have 25 years to make it happen.
If you grow your personal portfolio like Akbar's portfolio, you'll get there.
I just might be able to, yeah.
Okay, and one more thing, because somebody brought up something to me earlier in the show when we were talking more specifically about investment clubs, and I want to bring this to light, because this is, I think, a serious matter, and that's why we promote the Better Investing community so heavily, because just the same reason Matthew decided to join Akbar, because they were focused on education more than just making money. That's what leads Better Investing. Again, we're a national nonprofit that focuses on investment education for individuals and investment clubs. And, you know, you have to know that you can create all an investment club is a collection of people putting money together to invest in anything. It could be real estate, it could be stocks, it could be bonds, it could be a mixture of things. But investment club is a collection of people that come together, that put money together to invest a certain way. Now, the reason this is important is because some people have very bad experiences in investment clubs, right? They join the investment club, because they want to learn. They're inexperienced. They're willing to trust. But if your investment club is not tied to the right organization or you don't have the right foundation, it's not uncommon that whoever brought you to the club may profit off of you. Somebody that knows the most in the club may take advantage of other members. And so I think it's a real concern of people about safety, right? And so one of the things that a lot of people may not know about Better Investing is that Better Investing actually provides and has a relationship with an insurance to provide insurance for the club. So number one, the club has to be a Better Investing paid investment club member. And so you can, you know, go on to betterinvesting.org and check out investment clubs and find the information there. But once you are a Better Investment Club, right, the club is a member, all of the individual partners are members of Better Investing, you can buy insurance for the club. And this insurance, I mean, it's really low. It's very affordable, and it's based on the total account value of the club. But if you get insurance on the club's portfolio, then if anything happens to the money, somebody walked away with it, the treasurer ran away with it, just anything, if you got, you would be insured. And so I think that that's an important thing people to know. I know we talk about the benefits and the upsides, but the great thing about the SSG and about Better Investing is that we always look at the downside. What's the worst that can happen, right, Matthew, when you're doing your upside-downside ratio?
Right.
We're not just looking at how high a stock can go. We're also looking at how low can it go, because if we determine that it can go low, then we may decide to wait, right, to invest in that company when it has dropped down to a reasonable price, right? And so I think one of the questions is insured up to what? Definitely over $1 million, right? So they have, you know, different levels, $1,000, a couple thousand dollars, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, past a million. But you can definitely reach out to Better Investing and ask all of those questions. They're close to my Thanksgiving. But call them. You can email them. And they will, you know, within a few business days, they will be able to answer all of the questions that you have. There is another question, really quick, asking about what age can someone become a Better Investing member? And there is no minimum. I became a Better Investing paid Better Investing member at the age of 12. At that time, they had a youth membership, and that was 20 years ago. So that tells you how old I am. Anyway, right now I'm working with BI to bring back a youth membership. But, you know, anybody that's young, you could just, you know, I would suggest getting the individual plus or the individual core membership. And just get started. You're already listening in to this podcast. You can go on to betterinvesting.org and check out the chapter near you. We're all members of the South Florida chapter, but there are people listening in. Somebody's in Boston. Some other people are in Jamaica, you know, are in Maryland, are in Texas. And there are chapters all across the country. And a lot of our programming now is online. So another quick question we have for you, Matthew, is what's next for you? Whether it be career plans, life plans, investment plans, somebody asked, what's next for you in the future, Matthew?
I guess for investment planning, the first thing would, I guess, just to continue to learn more about investing. You know, for the most part, like, I'll focus on growth stocks. Eventually, I want to move into learning a bit more about, like, dividend investing, and I guess just the whole financial space. Yeah, definitely. Career-wise, I have a master's in organizational psychology, so I tend to move into organizational development once I return from Jamaica, and I'm also trying to learn more about like different investment avenues, not just stocks, but I guess after I learn some more about stocks, I'm going to learning about bonds, learning about like real estate investing, or even just like doing options trading. But for the most part, like I'm a long-term investor, but I'm just interested in learning more.
Excellent. Now, there's a question in the chat. I don't know if you're prepared to answer this, but somebody asked, if not, just let me know. If somebody asked, what's the difference between growth stock and dividend stock?
So a growth stock is a company that I guess is, you know, simplified, growing at a very quick rate. Dividend stocks tend to be a bit more stable, and they pay you a dividend. Like it's a small percent of the company's profit quarterly. So in investing in dividend stocks, I know of someone actually who is retired now, and he said, my dividends is my pension. He's been investing for a long time, and his dividends funds his life now. So he looks forward to, you know, a check every quarter, and that kind of funds his life. So with dividend investing, they tend to be a more stable company, I guess kind of tried and true, growing at like a slower rate, whereas the growth stocks, they're also, you know, they're growing at a much quicker rate. They can be a little bit.
I think you put that beautifully, Matthew. Excellent. I couldn't have did it better myself. So, one of the questions I have for you is, do you have any book recommendations? I don't know if you've only kind of been reading BI magazines, but was there any book, maybe financial book, investing book that you read that you want to share with people, that you recommend to other people?
The first investment book that I read, I think it would be very good for like young investors. It's called Charles Schwab's Guide to Financial Independence. That was the first one I read.
Excellent.
And through that, it helped me to, I guess, figure out what kind of investor am I, like how risky am I willing to be. And I guess for some people joining or starting out investing, you know, they may be worried that, hey, I don't want to invest this money and, you know, the company goes down and I lose all my money. And so some people are a bit more risk averse. So reading that book kind of told me that, I guess, there are different types of investment for each person. You know, like you can kind of learn about investing and figure out what suits you best. It might be investing in bonds. It might be investing in certain types of stocks. But I think that definitely helped me to figure out what kind of investor I want to be, and, you know, made me a bit more comfortable with the idea that, well, the money isn't in the bank. You know, with it being in the bank, it's safe, you know, minus the fee that you charge, but it's safe for the most part, you know, versus like, you know, moving to investing in a stock and seeing the stock go down, and I'm like, oh my gosh, what's going to happen? But I think that book kind of helped me to realize that, you know, you can choose like how risky you want to be in investing, and also that it's okay if the stock goes down. If you're a long-term investor, then, well, it'll go back up eventually, I mean, depending on the fundamentals, but, you know, it'll go back up eventually.
You could teach a class, Matthew. I'm gonna have to talk to you about replacing me. Ooh, I like that.
Other than that, I've been using Investopedia a whole lot.
Oh, great resource, man.
Really, really, really good. You know, you might hear different terms and you might have no understanding what they are, but you can go to Investopedia. And I think they also have free classes as well, like for free newsletters. So they'll send you like a, you know, like an email every week, and it'll tell you about things going on in the market. It will also tell you about, you know, different investment terms. So I think that's a good resource. And also, I use the Motley Fool. They have a podcast every week. Well, there's a weekly podcast and there's a daily podcast. And I guess over time, through listening to them, you know, I have a better understanding of the, you know, what you should focus on in a company.
Man, gems. I don't have anything else to say, Matthew. You swept me away, man. The shout out this week goes to Danica because she put me in contact with Matthew, and clearly the rest is history. So thank you, Danica. I know you're busy, but you know it's been a long time coming, and I'm so glad that you shared Matthew Green with us tonight. Because, I mean, for him to be 25 and have come to America from Jamaica, killing the game, showing the young folks how it's done, showing the old folks how it's done. I know the Akbar Investment Club is loving you, right? Because they're like, oh, great, somebody to continue our legacy. We're in good hands. Do they feel that way about you?
No, definitely. And I think that's kind of why they recommended me to do it. Because so when I first heard about it, to be honest, I kind of tried to get out of it. So I was like, well, you know, my investment journey just started, so I don't have much to say, you know. But then Danica was like, well, that's exactly what they want, you know, like everyday investors. So then the whole club kind of pushed me into doing it. So, you know, I kind of got myself into a corner. But I think it's definitely good. Having younger members in the club, especially with, you know, a lot of older members in the club, some are, you know, hoping to retire from, you know, from the club and have, you know, younger members take over. So it's definitely been an interesting experience. You know, I've been learning a whole lot from them, you know.
Yeah, and I will say this too, and you can chime in, Matthew. One of the things that has drawn me to BI and kept me so close to BI is that through all of my years, all of the older people that I've met have always been so warm, encouraging, supportive, and just, I forget the word, but, reinforcing how, wealthy too, but reinforcing how important it is for me to get started at my age. Have you found that to be true too, with that bar? And
most definitely, especially since, you know, while I'm in the U.S., I live with a member in that bar. So
exactly.
He's always told me, you know, the importance of investing and, you know, setting aside money to invest every month, you know, and you know, not only just with me, but I've seen him go around to, you know, other young people, my own friends that will, you know, come to visit. He will, you know, tell them, introduce them to investment. He will, you know, he'd go as far as to show them his portfolio and be like, you know, I started this, you know, X amount of years ago, and look where I am. You know, you could be here if you did the same. And, you know, even just my first meeting in the club, you know, were very receptive to me being there and just kind of teaching me. If I had a question, then, you know, there's no issue to answer. So, yeah.
I love it. And yes, the word is welcoming. They're always so welcoming. And it's just so encouraging. So with that, do you have any last words for the people, Matthew? Because I took all of your words as last words, man. You've been on it, man.
I guess my last words for anyone is, if you've been contemplating investing, then there is no perfect time to start. Just start, you know? You can start small. If you don't know too much, you can maybe buy like a ETF, like SPY, QQQ. You can kind of just look at, or even just a small stock, you know, you watch how it performs, and in owning a company, you're kind of, if you really want to, I guess, sounds like a great investment. You have to learn more about your investing. You have to figure out, you know, what am I putting my money into? So you go towards looking at the PE. You might even go towards, like, reading the popular reports. I mean, some of them might be a little heavy, but just in watching the stock and starting, like, you learn more over time. And I guess always think long term. You know, you have to, like, build your temperament. You might see a stock go down today, but once you focus on the fundamentals and the company, then you're almost safe. You know, of course, you're still monitoring the company, but don't be intimidated by taking losses. And often your losses are lessons, because I sure have lost some money recently, but, it, you know, they're lessons for me. So, yeah.
And you don't lose until you sell. So that's a reminder for some people.
There we go.
It's all on paper. So, again, thank you so much, Matthew. The chat room is going wild for you, man. Everybody is commenting on how much they learned from you and how much they've enjoyed you tonight. And I enjoyed you. I mean, you are definitely an inspiration. You've been in the club longer than I've been in the club. So I learned some things from you tonight. And again, to Michelle, to Ann Newman, to some new guests we had tonight. I invited some new people to come in and listen live to you, Matthew. And of course, again, Danica, Marie, thank you so much. We will catch up hopefully over the holidays. I really appreciate you sharing Matthew and just sharing somebody from the Akbar Investment Club, because they really are a gem, and they keep to themselves. So I want the people to know how hard it was to get a coveted member of the Akbar Investment Club. But again, Matthew, thank you so much for being willing, because I'm going to share your episode with a lot of other young people, especially, you know, some guys I'm working with from the Bahamas and from the other islands that kind of coming over and they want to invest, but, you know, need help navigating. And so that's why it's been a gem to have you on tonight.
Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. Miss Ann?
Yes, ma'am. We just want to remind everybody also that we are hosting a financial empowerment annual meeting that the details are here. It's going to be on May 15th, 2021, at the Western Dallas Park, Central in Dallas, Texas. And we are encouraging all of you, connect with us on our Facebook page at Better Investing Southeast Florida Chapter. You can go North Florida. There's lots of places near you that you can connect with this information. So we want to also encourage you to comment, like, and share this. We're volunteers with Better Investing, Ione and I, and Ione's being very humble, but she's the youngest person in the history of the organization to now be voted in as a board member, a national board member. So she's not going to say very much about that, but I think we would be remiss if we did not recognize greatness in our midst. So thank you so much, Ione, for all that you do and all that you give. And Matthew, she is absolutely right. You've been a phenomenal guest. And I think you also now can see the value in starting early yourself. And we had a conversation before the show started when I shared with you, Matthew, that there are people who will only hear your voice. And that's why Ione's perked up and very excited, because you're both peers and the rest of us are twice your age. Yeah. And so many people can say, oh, I wish I would have, could have, should have, but I didn't start early. But you help everybody remember you can start right now today. Right. 60, 70, 80 years old, you can start right now today. And so we want to thank you again. I want to remind everybody that we are volunteers, Better Investing. And this is hashtag My Investing Story. We're here every week bringing you another awesome guest, and it gets better and better and better. So everybody, thank you, and we will see all of you next week. Same place, same time on this show. And Matthew, please come back again and participate with us. and good night.
Thank you.
Good night.
Goodbye.